This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is gone.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Emmanuel Bebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch.
Welcome to Oski Talk. My name is Drew Pastorek. I'll be taking you through the past week in Fighting Illini athletics, as well as taking a closer look at some of the top stories on our website, thechampagneroom.com. Kind of a mixed bag this week. Some miscellany regarding the football program and men's basketball, and some volleyball news as well. Volleyball making history this past week. So definitely going to talk about that. And then towards the end of the show, I'll get into our Illini of the Week. Lots of stuff. We're not going to focus too much on one particular thing today. Before I get into the show, just a reminder, if you want to download the podcast, you can do that at thechampagneroom.com. Go to the podcast link. It should all be right there. The player should be there. You can listen to all of the previous episodes of the show. You can also search for Oski Talk and the Champagne Room, wherever you get your podcast. So definitely appreciate you being along, and want to make sure you stay with us through the rest of the season for football, men's basketball, and etc. So I want to start with football, and we're still kind of in that mindset, prepping for week zero, 3 weeks away from the start of the 2022 football season. Wyoming coming to Champaign. And they will have a new addition to that roster. Obviously, the freshmen that are coming in and your transfers. But Minnesota State transfer Terrell Jennings. He officially joined the football roster, I think it was Tuesday. He'll have 1 year of eligibility left. Kind of an interesting prospect. He originally was going to play, I think, club rugby at Oklahoma. Had a change of heart. Went back to football, enrolled at a junior college, then ended up at the University of North Dakota before transferring to Minnesota State. You know, was pretty good at the D2 level. Played 10 games at Minnesota State last year, 19 tackles, 4 pass breakups. So probably someone that's going to see some time right away. Brett Bielema hinted at that during media days. Not mentioning Jennings specifically, but he mentioned that week zero game, there'd be a lot of players seeing the field, a lot of players starting for the first time. Gotta believe that Jennings is among that group, especially with the experience that he has. That's an area of the team, especially on the defensive side of the ball, where Illinois needed some help, needed some veteran experience there. So would not shock me in the least if Terrell Jennings is with the ones or twos entering the Wyoming game, and then we'll see what happens after that. But seems like an interesting prospect. They seem to like him a lot. You know, it's a one-year situation, but you know, Brett Bielema had said, you know, when his name came in the portal, there was a lot of people he was connected to that helped get Jennings to Champaign. So there was a relationship there already, and you know, they swayed him to come to Champaign. So time will tell if he's an impact player in that 1 year, but certainly needed some vets in the secondary. Interested to see what he does. Another recruiting note, this time for 2023. You can read more about this at thechampagneroom.com. Zachary Tobe, he's a 2023 defensive back. He verbally committed to Illinois, I think it was Friday. He committed over the weekend. This is kind of a big deal. He was a three-star recruit, but he originally committed to North Carolina and decommitted and then flipped to Illinois. Actually committed in an article with USA Today. You know, most people will do the fancy graphics on social media. They do some kind of video, you know, some montage kind of a thing. USA Today was doing a story about him, and they mentioned he was decommitting to UNC and said he was joining the Illini next season. 69th ranked safety, according to 24/7 Sports, and had a lot of high major attention. Obviously, UNC, you know, an ACC team. You know, it's not one of these guys that, you know, had one or two group of five offers and then, you know, flipped Illinois. He was getting a lot of attention from some high major programs. So sounds like a pretty good get. Again, with recruiting, you never really know until you see him on the field, but certainly room to be excited there for Zachary Taube joining the Illini. Again, that story is up at thechampagneroom.com, as well as this one from one of our writers, Mihir Siobhan. If you're into the analytics and the data side, not just football, but the analytical type stuff, I think you want to take a look at this piece. I think it's kind of interesting. It's about establishing identity in the second season under Brett Bielema. So Mihir is comparing year one of Brett Bielema to year one of Lovey to year one of Tim Beckman. Thanks for reminding us all that Tim Beckman was the head coach at Illinois once upon a time. But I think it's a valuable thing to look at. And one of the things that jumped out was that Illinois has not had a homegrown quarterback, like as a full-time starter, since Nathan Shielhouse. And it didn't seem like it was that long ago, but it's been almost 10 years since Nathan Shielhouse was suiting up for the Illini. It's crazy to me that it's been that long since he was there. He was so good for so long. But yeah, I mean, and we're not talking about the spot starters or the injury fill-ins. You know, talking about the QB1s, you know, a lot of them came in through the transfer market. Illinois has not really developed a successful starting quarterback. You look at Wes Lunt, he was from Illinois, Rochester, I believe, but he started at Oklahoma State. So he transferred in after some things happened in Stillwater. Then you had MJ Rivers, AJ Bush, Brandon Peters, they all come in under Lovey Smith's administration. And of course, Brett Bielema helps bring in Art Sitkowski, who transferred from Rutgers. Now you've got Tommy DeVito, the, in my eyes, starting quarterback to start the year. And he transferred from Syracuse. And you know, you got Ryan Johnson, who joined in from Northern Michigan, you know, D2 school. You know, he added that veteran presence as well under Brett Bielema. So, of course, we've had the Jeff George Juniors of the world, you know, the Chase Crouches, the Riley O'Tools. You know, Matt Robinson came in under Lovey. He got some run. He got a little bit of a leash as a starter, but that didn't pan out. So it's really been a struggle for Illinois to develop a long-term homegrown starting QB. I think some of the guys in the group now could be that guy. Now, I was hoping that Samari Collier might get an extended look in regards to that. He's obviously departed the program. He transferred out last week. Not really a spot for him to fit in on this year's roster. I thought maybe for 2023 and beyond he could be a fit. But alas, he is gone. Want to see more from Donovan Leary, you know, true freshman from New Jersey. See what he has to bring to the table. And I think Kirkland Michaud could be someone that ends up turning into a hell of a find. You know, Barry Lunny had recruited him while he was at UTSA. Kirkland Michaud was at Austin Westlake High School, same high school that Drew Brees attended. Put up some big numbers in 1 year as a starter, decided he wanted to pursue baseball, so he went to the junior college route for that. And stayed in touch with Barry Lunny. He gets the OC job at Illinois. You know, we might need some quarterback depth in the future. So he, you know, reaches out to Kirkland Michaud, makes that connection, you know, continues that bond. And, you know, he's there now. Probably won't get a lot of run this year. I wouldn't expect that unless it was a, you know, in case of glass or in case of emergency break glass kind of scenario. But he's another guy that the coaching staff seems to really be enamored with. You know, Cal Swanson coming in next year from the high school ranks in Oklahoma. I think, you know, Barry Lunny has seemed to do well with quarterbacks. So I think that trend's going to break relatively soon. But that's one of the things that Mihir touched on in his piece about establishing identity in season two. We know the run game is good. We've got Chase Brown. You've got Josh McCray in the fold. A couple of other guys that were hurt are back. So it's not going to be just those two guys. You're going to have probably four or five dudes getting some significant carries this season. But looking back on the first year under Lovie Smith in 2016, the first year under Tim Beckman, some interesting notes to compare and contrast. I think, again, if you are into the analytical side of things, if you take a more analytical approach to watching sports and evaluating sports, might be worth a read at thechampagneroom.com as well. And lastly, also at our website, we have our annual CFP predictions. I don't want to alarm anybody. I don't want to upset anybody. None of us predicted Illinois to be in the college football playoff. I know. Clutch the pearls. And don't get me wrong. Brett Bielema's done a solid job in year one. Think he's on the right track, but Fighting Illini not ready to beat down the doors of the college football playoff committee quite yet. We'll give it some time for that. A lot of love, not surprisingly, for Alabama and Ohio State, but there's some other predictions there that you might not have seen coming. So I highly recommend you check that out at thechampagneroom.com as well. Something else, just kind of piggybacking on that, something else I found kind of interesting was from Brett McMurphy. He used to be with ESPN. Now he works for the Action Network. He tweeted this out the other day that there are six FBS teams that are favored in every single game. Not a shocker that Ohio State and Alabama are two of those. Also, probably no shock that Georgia and Oklahoma are included in that list. But the other two jumped out at me. Utah is one. Utah's getting a lot of preseason love, favored by many to win the Pac-12. Could be a playoff team as well. Utah favored to win every single game. And then Air Force was the other one. That was the outlier to me. Air Force, a 10-win team last year, won a bowl game. Those service academies, always a difficult challenge for a lot of teams. You don't see a lot of offenses like that in this era of college football. So it's hard to prepare for them. So I get it, but I was just leafing through the schedule and I noticed, Colorado is on that schedule. You've got Army and Navy, of course. Then even in their Mountain West docket, they have San Diego State and Boise State. And those two programs are usually among the more successful squads in that conference. So the bettors, the prognosticators, the people in charge of making sure your mortgage gets paid successfully, they're loving Air Force all season long. Just as another aside, another footnote, Alabama and Ohio State also favored by 10 plus points, favored by double digits in every game this season. Again, shouldn't really surprise anybody, but they are known to have some squeakers every now and then. Not necessarily that they lose games that they should win, but we've seen this. We've seen Northwestern, Purdue, give Ohio State scares in the past. I can't tell you how many times we've watched Alabama and a team seemingly has them on the ropes and then maybe chokes the lead away late, or Alabama makes a big play to end up winning. So will they win every game by 10 plus points? I don't think that they will. I think they'll get some scares. But yeah, favored to win every game. I don't see them losing any games. I think it's fair to peg them as those favorites. So if you're into the betting scene, if you're following that action, I don't know how much money you'll make by predicting Alabama or Ohio State to win the whole thing. But maybe you're hedging. Maybe you make some wackier bets over the course of the season and you're really hanging your hat on the Buckeyes and the Crimson Tide. That could be something that you do. All right. I mentioned at the start of the show that there was a history-making moment regarding Illini volleyball. It was really pertaining to the Big Ten as a whole, not just Illinois specifically. But last week, the Big Ten held its first ever volleyball media days. Obviously, a lot of attention gets paid to basketball and football, the revenue-generating sports. But the Big Ten is the number one volleyball conference in the nation. Tons of talented squads in the conference. Wisconsin, the reigning national champions. Of course, Penn State and Nebraska are perennial powers. Illinois has bubbled up recently as well, you know, getting to a Final Four, getting to an Elite Eight. They defeated the defending national champions, Kentucky, in the NCAA tournament last year. So really a cool way to showcase a growing sport and to showcase those athletes on a bigger scale. Here was Illinois head coach Chris Thomas on what this meant to him and the program, you know, being a part of the first ever Big Ten Media Days.
This is awesome. I mean, you know, we've been pushing to try to promote the sport for a long time, and I know, like, Media Day has been you guys that are sitting right here as a one-person show, so I appreciate your efforts up until now, but this is great that the Big Ten has put this together to promote not only our sport but also women's athletics, and just proud to be a part of it and try to continue to push the sport as best we can, and looking forward to another great year of competitive season, as it always has been, and yeah, just looking forward to get after it.
Once again, the first ever Big Ten Volleyball Media Days taking place last week in Chicago. Big Ten, the elite volleyball conference in the entire country, defending national champions, had a couple of teams in the Final Four last year. I mean, just top to bottom, so much talent. It's such a competitive league. Here's what Illinois coach Chris Thomas had to say about that. His team being built for a long postseason run because of the tough competition in the Big Ten.
We talk about being great risk takers, you know, while we're playing in this tough conference, and that prepares us for the end of the year. And so I think it's just mostly with the messaging, and like I said, playing in this conference prepares you for just about anything. And I think you've seen that not only with us, but you've had teams that have, you know, six teams in the Sweet 16, you know, four teams in the Elite Eight, two teams in the Final Four for the last, you know, 6-7 years. I think that the records kind of speak for themselves. But we're happy to be a part of that. And like I said, we just try to do this one day at a time. And we want to finish better than we started.
Fighting Illini predicted to finish sixth in the preseason volleyball poll. As you heard Coach Thomas say just a second ago, that hasn't really mattered because the depth of the league is so great. It's so competitive. You know, the sixth-ranked, seventh-ranked, eighth-ranked team, you know, could make a deep postseason run. It's not the same as, you know, maybe the sixth-place team in the Big East or the Atlantic 10 or somewhere like that. You know, the Big Ten's churning out a lot of high-quality teams every single year. Illinois expected to be among those. Now, not at the top of the league, but certainly good enough. I mean, sixth in the Big Ten ought to be plenty to get into the NCAA tournament. Fighting Illini trying to build on a 22-12 season a year ago. Have some depth coming back, and they'll start the season August 27th. Same day as football, but Illinois will be on the road for volleyball. They'll be at Ole Miss starting that weekend of August 27th. So best of luck to Chris Thomas and the volleyball team. Really looking forward to seeing much more of their games. I think the Big Ten Network put out their volleyball TV broadcast schedule as well during the Media Day festivities. So if you're a volleyball fan, you want to follow the program a little more closely, you can check that out, see when the Illini might be on a TV or a streaming platform near you. Congrats to the program again, and the volleyball programs in general for getting recognized with their own Media Day. I think that's super, super cool. I want to shift focus back to the men's basketball program here as we get closer to the end of the show. Brad Underwood and the Illini just completed their summer workouts. We'll talk more about that here in just a moment, but there are some important recruiting notes to bring up. James Brown, one of the more sought-after big men in the 2024 class, he has scheduled his official visit to Champaign. He'll be on campus November 4th through November 6th. His teammate at St. Rita, Morez Johnson, is already committed to the Fighting Illini for 2024. So it's clear what they're trying to do. They're trying to build a pipeline, not just in Chicago, but you know, St. Rita. They're in on a couple of St. Rita kids, but James Brown would sort of be the cherry on top there for that 2024 class. 6'10", 6'11", really versatile big man. He'll be on campus starting November 4th for his official visit. You got to believe that they want to lock down a commitment at some point soon after that. But, you know, he has a couple of other OVs coming up around that same time. So probably won't get a firm commitment from him for a little bit, but he is going to be on his official visit. They'll do the best that they can to try to woo him, court him, and bring him to Champaign in 2024. As far as 2023 goes, Amani Hansberry has Illinois in his top five. There's more on this story at the champagneroom.com. 6'8", 230-pound forward out of the D.C. area. So you know Chester Frazier's been in his ear, been trying to bring him in and lock down a commitment as well. The crystal balls I've seen sort of have him leaning towards Penn State. So Illinois, Penn State, Miami, Virginia Tech, and Auburn in his top five. So he has not chosen his decision date yet. That'd be a huge addition for the Illini, not just because of the talent that he has, but they don't have any 2023 commitments yet. So we've got one already for 24. I mentioned Morez Johnson earlier, and we know the stellar recruiting class Brad Underwood and company were able to bring in for this upcoming season, but still a little behind on the 2023 commitment, so this would be a huge one for sure. But before we get too far down the path with 2024 and 2023, let's hone in on 2022. Season getting started here in just a couple of months. I guess about 3 months until actual games that count, which sounds crazy. Again, I said this about football last week. It seemed like the offseason was about a month long, and then boom, games are starting. Same thing for basketball. You know, summer workouts getting completed, and then there's a little bit of a lull, a little bit of a stagnant period until school begins around the end of August, and then they'll be, you know, working out and getting camp ready and all those kind of things. But I saw this from John Rothstein last week. I think it was Wednesday. If you're an Illinois fan or just a college basketball fan, I think John Rothstein's worth a follow just for the entertainment value alone. A lot of fans have a love-hate relationship with Rothstein, but he did tweet this out about Illinois, and I wanted to share it. He said that Illinois is the ultimate, in bold letters, big all caps, ultimate mystery team entering 2022-2023. And, you know, he does show his work a little bit on that. Illinois does not return a player who averaged more than 5.9 points per game. Lost one of the best players in school history, of course, that being Kofi Coburn, as well as its top five scorers. Three, they have a freshman point guard coming off an injury. We'll get to that here in just a second. The fourth bullet point was that Illinois owned portal combats. I've never heard it phrased in that way, but I like that. I'm going to use that from now on. Portal combat. Not the transfer portal. Everyone uses that. Portal combat. Everyone competing for the same guys. That's pretty cool. And then the fifth bullet point he made was that Illinois will be hard to guard. Can't say I disagree with that. You know, that's sort of the way the offseason was designed to get that positionless system in place. You know, lots of length and athleticism to disrupt the opposition. I can't disagree with that. They're a wild card. ESPN has Illinois as their 25th team in their preseason top 25. It's preseason rankings. You take them for what they are. They don't really mean anything. It's just something to get clicks and get people like me talking about it. I think Illinois is going to be much better than that when the season ends. But you do have a lot of new players to incorporate, whether it was players that transferred in or those freshmen, and you lost quite a bit. There's no Plummer, no Frazier, no Demonte Williams, no Kofi Coburn, no Omar Payne. You know, a lot of new faces to try to integrate into the system in a short amount of time. So I think they'll be really good. I think maybe putting them at number 25 for now isn't the worst thing that could happen. Speaking of Sky Clark, Brad Underwood did talk to the media following the conclusion of summer workouts last week. Mentioned that Sky Clark is 100%. ACL is good to go. He's fully cleared for activities. Brad Underwood says he's really proud of his work in the offseason to get better and to get healthy. And he is just that. And one last thing. I kind of just saw this as I was putting the podcast together. Apparently, Sky Clark is chums. He's friends with Spider-Man. He's got some kind of relationship. He's friends with Tobey Maguire. And we don't really know how this happened, but he's just chilling. Like, they show him out on the West Coast hanging out in a backyard with Tobey Maguire. It's amazing. We got to get a backstory. We got to get some context on that. But you can see the photo of Sky Clark just chilling with Tobey Maguire, who's wearing an Illinois number 55 Sky Clark jersey, by the way. It's fantastic. so good. Got to check that out at thechampagneroom.com. Just phenomenal stuff there. Which leads me into the Illini of the Week. Going to stay with basketball. And we're going to talk about Zach Perrin, the French phenom committed to Brad Underwood and the Fighting Illini back in late June. Recently competed at the FIBA U18 Euros. Played in 5 games for the French team. And he performed very, very well. His team was eliminated in the quarterfinals, I believe. Jack, one of our newer writers, posted a really cool piece, wrote a really good story about it at thechampagneroom.com about how he could wind up being the most underrated prospect of 2022. Not some guy to keep an eye on if you're an Illinois fan, just on the whole, how, you know, Zach Perrin could be one of those guys that just turns your head. He could be, you know, kind of what Andre Curbelo was like a few years ago, where you watch him play and you're just like, this guy's incredible. This guy is a sorcerer. He's a wizard. Like, just the things he does on the floor amazed you. So maybe Zach Perrin can be that guy. As I said, competed in the U18 Euros, 5 games for Team France, averaged 14 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists per game, played about 23 minutes per game, shot 61% from the field. That's a very competitive environment. A lot of those guys are, even though they're kids, they're 16, 17, 18, you know, a lot of those kids are going to be NBA prospects in the very near future. I mean, you're playing some of the elite talent in the entire world. You'll get more of that when you go to the States, but you know, certainly a great proving ground for any player, but certainly a young player such as Zach Perrin. So really, really great stuff out of him. I think there's some video, if you want to search for it on Twitter, there's some highlights. And you know, they were running the offense through him at a lot of points during those games. I don't know what his role is going to be yet. It's hard to really know. He could be a guy that plays 6-7 minutes a game as he, you know, develops and learns the system and the terminology. And he could develop into a guy that's playing 20-25 minutes a game by the end of the year. I think he's that good. He has that much potential. You know, he is that sleeper prospect. I think he's that sleeper guy on this team. You're going to have some film on him from Europe, but you're not going to really see what he can do against, you know, college age kids or, you know, Division I college kids, mostly in the States, because he just hasn't done it yet. So really intriguing. you know, Brad and his staff are not afraid to take flyers on guys like this. You know, guys like Benjamin Bosman's Verdonk, or you know, Jacob Grandison was mentioned in Jack's piece as well. Alfonso Plummer, guys that would fit in well in the system that were either unheralded or were under the radar. I mean, just go back to even Georgi Bajanashvili. That was a recruiting coup for Brad Underwood at that time. Nobody expected Georgi to have that freshman year that he had. He dipped down a little bit as a sophomore, came back a bit as a junior, but he was a pretty low-key recruit. He was just like, oh, he's a guy to add. And Georgi was one of the more electric players right away on that Illini team that particular season. I think they're going to give him some runway, give him some time to develop and grow. They're not going to expect a ton out of him right away, but sky-high potential for sure. And he demonstrated that. He exhibited his skills. And there are some weaknesses he needs to work on, but, I mean, he's 17. He doesn't turn 18 until August 30th. I think it's going to be fine. I hope that for 2023 and beyond, that he is one of the core guys. But, you know, he's a mystery right now, and I think that's fine. But the tools are there. You know, he's got athleticism. He's tall. He's got that, you know, the versatility, the wingspan, all those things you want in a quote-unquote positionless system. He's shown he can step out a little bit. He's got some range. He's a killer inside the basket, inside the paint, rather. And, you know, he can also handle the ball a little bit. So, big things in store, in my opinion, for Zach Perrin. Want to see what he can do when he gets to the States, when he gets, you know, practicing with those guys. And don't forget, Ty Rogers is another guy who just went through the same thing as an incoming freshman. He competed on Team USA in the U18s and helped Team USA win a gold medal. So I think that's a shared experience that can help build a relationship with them and help them grow as teammates and help the betterment of the program as well. So very much looking forward to seeing what Zach Perrin can do. And he is the Illini of the week. He's not yet an Illini. Like, technically, he's signed and he's going to play. He hasn't gone through all the clearinghouse stuff yet. He's got to get all that academic stuff that international students have to do. He has to get all that stuff cleared. But if all that goes through, he's going to be an Illini in the very near future. So he is unofficially, officially the Illini of the week today. And that will wrap up the show. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Oski Talk. If you like what you heard or you want to just find out more, you can download and subscribe at thechampagneroom.com. And don't forget to follow us on the socials as well. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, to search for The Champagne Room. You'll find us right there. Until next week, I'm Drew Pastorek. Thanks for listening. ILL.